Welcome once again to Get Up Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr., the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to draw your attention tonight in our Bible study to the book of Romans chapter 1 as we continue our study through the book of Romans. Tonight's focus is going to be on Romans chapter 1, and we'll be focusing in on verses 26 through verse 32. Romans chapter 1, if you have it where you can get your Bible, do so. If not, then if you're driving down the road, you can listen to the verses we're going to cover as I read it. Now, remember, as I read it, listen for a phrase that I will repeat on three occasions, and you'll know then what the title of the message is going to be. Listen for it now. Verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves a recompense of their error which was met. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have the opportunity to be on the radio tonight. And Father, we pray for those that are listening. And we pray that you take this message and touch someone's heart with it. We pray that your people will be made to worship. If anyone doesn't know you, we pray that they would be brought to a saving knowledge of you. We're thankful for those at Elizabeth Baptist Church, Lord, that give so that this broadcast can be on the air each week. Father, we pray your blessings now in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. Now, you'll notice I asked you to listen to a phrase that was mentioned three times. And that phrase is, God gave them up. It's used in verse 24. It's used in verse 26. A little bit different wording in verse 28, but conveys the same idea. God gave them over. In that particular text, but three times God gave them up. And that's going to be our title to the message this evening, is God gave them up. The most worst news for a people and a nation is for God to give them up or God to give them over. Now, what we're going to do tonight, since that's going to be our title, first of all, we're going to look at the meaning of giving up. God gave them up. We're going to look at the meaning of that phrase. Then we're going to look at the reasons why that God gives a nation over. And then we'll look at the signs that a nation has been given over. Now, this should be interesting for you, because if you see these signs, then it's a sign that God has given a nation over. Well, let's move on into our sermon then this evening, our lesson this evening. And let's notice, first of all, the meaning of giving over. Remember, our title was God gave them up or God gave them over. What does that mean, God gave them up? Well, what it means is that basically that God removes his restraining hand. You see, there's a certain amount of sin that God restrains. I mean, as a nation, maybe be in tune with God to a certain extent, and has people in it that loves the Lord, God will restrain a certain amount of sin in a land. But as a people, wants nothing to do with God or the things of God, and becomes rebellious and more rebellious than what God will do, is he'll remove that restraining hand and just let it go The idea of giving up is like someone would do when they surrender. God just gives a nation over, and then what happens is the people just do as they please. You have a situation much like you had in the Judges, the book of Judges, where it says that men do what is right in their own eyes. And then the result of all these things is iniquity begins to abound more and more and more. And you see, all iniquity gets worse. Sin becomes more prevalent. People become desensitized to it. Well, folks, that's what it means to being given over. God removes his restraining hand on sin and basically just lets it go. And the result of that is a great list of sins that you see mentioned in this text. Well, that's the meaning of being given over. Now, what's the cause of being given over? Well, there's, of course, sin is the cause. Rebellion is the cause. But let's mention three specific ones that I believe is mentioned in the text. The first cause is rejecting creation. It says that they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. Therefore, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, it says in verse 28. They didn't like to retain God. You see, they had been given a revelation from God. I should say they've been given evidence that there is a God. And that evidence is what? Creation. We talked about that last week. You can look at the creation and you can see that there had to be a creator. You can look at the design of creation and see that there had to be a designer. When you look at the complexity of things and the order of things, and you look out at the universe, at the vastness of things, and how everything's been set in its perfect place, then, my friend, you can see from looking at creation that there had to be a God. We noticed last week that the creation evidence is so strong that it renders man, in verse 20 of Romans 1, without excuse. Let me say it one more time. Without excuse. That's how strong the creation is. It's so clear that the psalm said only a fool would say there is no God. Because the evidence of a designer is so plain from our human bodies, from the stars and from the sun and from the different laws that govern this earth. It's so clear. It's said to render men without excuse. Well, that's one reason why God gives a nation up, because when he shows his evidence in creation and men see it, but yet they throw that out the chance, then that's one reason he gives a nation over. Now, one of the things that we've done in our land is many people still believe in Bible creation, but the numbers that still believe that in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, that number's dwindling. And way more and more and more people now are accepting the theory of evolution, that the world evolved up over millions and millions and millions and millions of years. And anymore, they're trying to get away from the Big Bang. But at the same time, many still hold to that, that that's how it got started. Many of them will admit that they don't know how it got started. But the Bible reveals not how it got started, but it reveals how God created it. He didn't get it started and let it evolve up. He created it and he finished it. After a six-day creation, he finished it. He just didn't start it. Well, one reason why God gives a nation over is because they look at the creation and they deny the Creator. And that's what we've seen. Has that happened in our land? It certainly has. It says they, remember what it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's what you see happening in our land. We're raising a generation of young people that don't believe in God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says this, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You need to learn about the Creator from a little child all the way up. You know why that is? So that they can grow up to believe in a God and respect the Bible. What's happening? We have a school system that teaches that the world evolved up. They teach that it evolved from a one-celled organism all the way up till it come to man. Well, folks, that's not believing in a creator. That's not believing, as the Bible says, kind produces kind. Well, that's denying the existence of a creator. You can't, there's incompatibility with evolution in the Bible. You can't put them together. And many try to do that, but you can't. So one reason why God gives a nation over is because of creation. They deny the existence of God. When you do away with Bible creation, that's not only an attack on the Bible, and it's an attack on God. And as you raise a generation of children that doesn't believe in God, then God will give a nation over. Number two, it says that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And it says that they went on and changed the glory of God and of the uncorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. We talked about this last week. They worship idols. You look back through history at the Romans and the Assyrians and the Babylonians and all the great nations on the earth of the past. They all worshiped idols. They realized that they're from creation, that there had to be a supreme being. There had to be a God, but instead of worshiping the true God or seeking after the true God, they worshiped cows. They worshiped cows. They worshiped snakes. They worshiped lions. They worshiped all kinds of different type of animals, and they made idols out of them. You just look back through history and see it. They believed in many gods, so to speak, and made men. Made gods out of men, and so on and so on. But they never worshiped the true God. So the second reason why God gives a nation over is because of idols. Worshiping in a false way. Not worshiping in the right way. God give us a book so we'll know how to worship Him and make an approach to Him. Number three. What's the third reason why God gives a nation up? Because we're unthankful. Did you notice that in the text? Neither were thankful, ungrateful. You know, folks, God gives, you know what? Even the vilest sinner that walks this planet breathes God's air and receives the benefit of God's reign and God's Son. And not only that, but though they don't realize it, God is also the one that feeds them. They receive all these blessings from the Lord, but they're not thankful. They're ungrateful, and they don't recognize God's hand in their life and His blessings in their life. So those are three causes of being given over: rejecting creation, the worship of idols, and being ungrateful. Now, let me ask you a question. Has our nation done these sins? Well, certainly we have we not? Has our nation rejected Bible creation? A large portion of it has. We have it taught in the school system. It's still taught in the school system. When they get into college, it's taught in college. And my friend, I tell you, that's doing away with the Creator when you do that. And it's an attack on the Bible. So has our nation rejected creation? As a whole, it has. And it's growing in it. And as I've already said, we're raising a generation of young people. If they're not taught it in their church and they're not taught it in their home, and they'll be taught origins in a school system that teaches that things evolved up from the lesser until we're down to today. They don't believe in a creator. They don't believe God created it in 6 days. They don't believe God spoke it into existence. People say, well, you can't teach religion in school. Well, the definition of religion is something that needs to be accepted by faith. It's faith-based. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. You don't see evolution. Now, we're not talking about adapting to your environment. Bible creation is not against adapting to your environment. We're talking about something producing something other than its kind. You don't see that. What you see is exactly like Genesis 1 says, kind producing kind is what you see. Also, how you think. Anytime you see anything made, you assume someone made it. You walk in, you see a building that has a window. You see a building that has doors and dimensions. Well, you didn't have to see it built. You assume someone built it. And like I said last week, your human body is more one cell in your human body is more complex than the most elaborate computer made by man. Well, folks, there was a creator that created these things. And evolution is against the Bible. And we're raising generation kids to believe it because they're not taught Bible creation in the home anymore. And in many churches, they're not taught it either. For these three reasons, as I give them, rejecting creation, worshiping idols. What was the third one? Becoming unthankful. These are three reasons why God gives a nation up. Is our nation, have we rejected creation? Many have. What about the second one? Are we worshiping idols? You say, well, Jeff, we don't have statues of gods in our land, but you know what our false god is in this land? It's money. It's covetousness. One of the things the book of Colossians says about money is that it is idolatry. Covetousness is listed as being idolatry. Let me read that to you. Colossians 3, verse 5. It says, covetousness, which is idolatry. I tell you, many in our nation worships money. They're covetous. Their whole life is about getting gain and getting gain and getting gain. That's what it's all about. They live for retirement. And they waste their entire life laying up money for the retirement that lasts a few years. And then they forget about their eternity. And they forget about death. And they waste their life in the temporary. And they forget the eternal. Yeah. We have a false god in this land. And that's just one of them. Has our nation rejected creation? For the most part. Do we have idols? Many of them. But one of the main ones, I just use an example of one, is covetousness. People serve their... People seek after gain more than they seek after God. And how about unthankful? Is this nation grown unthankful? Who made this nation great? Who made this nation great? Our God's what made it great. One of the warnings given to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 was, beware lest you forget the Lord your God. And it's, as you read the text, I encourage you to read Deuteronomy chapter 8 and see if it don't sound familiar. It says in Deuteronomy 8:11, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when you are eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when your herds and thy flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied, that thou hast... And all that thou hast is multiplied. Now listen to this. Then thy heart get lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. Folks, it's God that blessed this land, and it's forgot, and we become unthankful and ungrateful for all his blessings. So, as you look at the three causes mentioned in Romans 1 for which God gives a nation up, rejecting the Creator by rejecting creation, worshiping idols, and number three, being unthankful. Has our nation done that? Certainly it has. Now let's move on to the third point. We'll spend the rest of the broadcast on this one. We looked at the meaning of being given up. We looked, number two, at the causes, three causes of being given up. That simply means God removing his restraining hand and just letting a nation go because of its sin and its rejection of him. Well, what's the signs of being given up? What's the signs of being given up? Well, it gives us a list of sins in the text, but one dominant sin is mentioned. And I want to draw attention to it. Romans chapter 1, it says God gave them up to vile affections. Verse Romans 1:26, vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the women, of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. Well, what's it describing, men with men? Vile affection was describing homosexuality. And in this text, homosexuality is called a vile affection. It's said to be against nature. And then number three, it's said to be unseemly. Is it a sin? Absolutely, it's a sin. Now, the reason why homosexuality is mentioned in this text is because one of the signs, see, that's what we're looking at in this point right now. One of the signs that a nation has been given up is when the sin of homosexuality becomes prevalent in a land. That's a sign. I hear people say all the time, God will bring judgment because of homosexuality. That is true. But what is even more true, if you want to say it that way, is it's a sign that judgment has already began. Remember, this message is entitled, God Gave Them Up. And one of the prevailing signs that you see that is an evidence that God has removed his restraining hand on a land is homosexuality becomes prevalent. Folks, you have so-called churches today ordaining homosexual pastors. It's not the Lord's church that does that type of stuff there. Now, can God save a homosexual? Absolutely. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it addresses that subject. Some people that were in the church at Corinth were homosexual before they were saved. You see, when God saves your soul, he changes your lifestyle. Notice what it says. Let me read 1 Corinthians 6. It gives us a list of sins. Homosexuality is on the list. Why is that? Because it's a sin. Notice what it says in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither a fornicator, an idolater, an adulterer, effeminate or abusers of themselves with mankind is a description of the homosexual lifestyle. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom. So it gives you a list of sins and gives you a warning that with that list, those that do these things will not inherit the kingdom. Now, what's it say in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 11? Such were some of you. Some of them there at the church of Corinth before they were saved were idolaters. They worshipped idols. Some of them were fornicators. Some of them had committed adultery. Some of them had been homosexual. Some of them had been thieves. But now they were washed. They were sanctified and they were justified. God saved them. Certainly God does save homosexuals. Certainly God does save drunkards. Certainly God does save adulterers and fornicators. That's why you preach the gospel. One of the greatest disservices done today is when people justify themselves in their sin. That's one of the reasons why in our land and in other parts of the earth today, they labeled a race instead of a sin. And the purpose of that is try to justify the behavior and not recognize it's a sin. I'm telling you, it's on the list in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And the Bible has to be the authority on this issue. I'm telling you, the Bible calls it a vile affection in Romans 1:26. It says it's against nature in Romans 1:26, and it says it's unseemly. Well, does our land have homosexuality in it? Is it a prevailing sin in our land? Do you see it all the time? Do you watch politicians dance around the issue and ignore it? Is that one of the dominant issues today? Even has it affected religious places of worship? Has it? That's a sign that judgment has already begun. That's a sign that the nation has been given over. And there needs to be a sense of urgency. Well, that's not the only sin they are, is it? It gives us a broad list of sins in the rest of the text. Fornication. Adultery. That's mentioned in the text. haters of God. Do you see these things? Well, absolutely. The land is filled with immorality. You see it everywhere. One of the reasons why that is that's all you see on television anymore. People just commit fornication and commit fornication. Our young people watch it. That's what many of the movies are about. And as I read a book not long ago, it says, by the time a child from 10 years old to 20 will see about 90,000 scenes of sex and sexual innuendo by the time in 10 years from 10 years old to 20. And what you see has an effect on how you think. And what you see has an effect on what you do. My friend, you sing a song years ago at churches, be careful little eyes what you see. Be careful little ears what you hear. My fornication's a dominant sin. I think there's 1 million teen pregnancies every year in our land. And about 200,000 or 300,000 of those, maybe even more than that, will have an abortion. Oh, you see sin on every hand. How about murder? That's on the list. How about disobedience to parents? You go out in public today and you watch how disobedient children are to their parents. They don't mind their parents. They don't respect their parents. How about covenant breakers? You see in this list given in verses 29 through 32, you see these are dominant sins you see in our land. You not only see homosexuality as a prevailing sin, but you see the fornication and you see the disobedience to parents. And you see covenant breakers. You know, one of the covenants that people break all the time is the marriage covenant. God designed marriage to be till death do you part. And any more marriage vows doesn't mean anything to people. They are nothing but window dressing for a marriage ceremony. My friend, it used to be just a problem in the world, but now it's a problem in churches. People break their covenants. They make a covenant. When you make a covenant, you're making a covenant with God that you're going to keep your word. But people break it like crazy. Without natural affection. Do you see that in our land? What's the most natural affection? The love of a mother. The love of a mother for their child. How many abortions are they in their land, in our land today? 1.2 million. Depends on the poll you read, but it's over 1 million. And the most natural affection they are is the love of a mother for its child. You see these things. And they're prevalent. Murder is prevalent. Adultery is prevalent. Fornication is prevalent. You can watch the media and many of the movies and shows. They're haters of God. They hate God. And they hate the people of God. And they hate the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate them. Well, what's the title of the message this evening? God gave them up. And we showed you what that meant. We showed you that giving a nation up means he removes his restraining hand because they didn't acknowledge the Creator. When they knew there was a God, they worshiped idols. And then number three, what else did they do? They were unthankful. Unthankful for all that the Lord had done for them. And what was the result of that? God gave them up. And then the land just gets worse and worse. And one of the prevailing sins you see when God gives a nation up is the sin of homosexuality. What's the cure? What do we need to do? Well, the key is the gospel. And the key is not a politician. The key is God's people. We need to pray and we need to spread the gospel and we need to stand for the truth. May God add his blessings and may God have mercy on our land. Thank you for listening.